Justice work by and for DC people of the global majority. The deadline for submissions is Friday, September 20th. Details and application information are available at www.diversecityfund.org. You can send questions to info@diversecityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and past recordings are accessible online at www.diversecityfund.org. The phone number for further information is 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Peace, this is Aton Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Hey, hey, hey. Growing up in the church, three queer folks got the call and came together. I'm Daffo the Flower with the God Glow Up.
And I'm Jay Flower, the church girl gone God, a.k.a. Miss Praise and Prince.
And we have Jay Barber, everybody's uncle and father. We're here offering a sanctuary for queer folks.
Here, we believe God is for everybody. This is the Fellowship Hall on Inside Out. Peace, everybody. The Inside Out Collective illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA+ experience. We are proud to be a part of the legacy of cutting-edge public affairs programming on WPFW, home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFW.org. Be sure to give us a call for today's episode at 202-588-9739. Again, that number is 202-588-9739. And I just want to say that today is a little different because we can't see each other.
I know.
So please, thank you for your patience with us. And I want to know, Jay, are you here on the call?
And if not, Kalia, Jay is trying to get in. So look out for one more.
They haven't called yet. I'm waiting on the call.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay. So Jay, call the number in the email. I believe it is 202-588-0893. Jay, if you can hear us, call the number that Kalia sent in the email. So I will talk about a little bit what we're doing today. Well, actually, first of all, hi, Daffa.
What's up, Jay Flower?
How are you doing? I'm well. I just turned 39. I'm living my life like it's golden. Feeling pretty lovely about that.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's go. You're right on the precipice of the 40s. Let's go.
Yes. Shout out to all the Virgos who are listening. Today's topic, we are going to have a really, really special guest today. It's a costume designer. His name is Eugene Sims, and he is also doing a powerful, important play that is a spinoff or inspired by the classic 90s movie, Set It Off. It's called Run That Stunt. So you already know it's going to be very DC, very queer, and very awesome. We're excited about this conversation tonight. And I'll read a little bit about the show, and then I think that and when Jay comes on, we're just talking, or are we bringing Eugene on sooner rather than later?
Let's just talk a bit and then figure it out. We'll talk a bit and then figure it out, because I don't think he's called in yet either, so.
Okay, Sam. All right. Well, I went to, in terms of our theme and what we're all about on the show, Sanctuary for Queer Folks, I do want to shout out a prayer call that I was on yesterday. It was about six or seven of us on the call, and the woman who hosted was so gracious, and she literally just prayed for, like, every single person on the call for, like, an hour. It was really powerful and just humbling to see someone really commit to folks that sent her an email. This is my praise report. These are the things good going on in my life. And also, these are some of the things I'm working through. These are some of the people in my life that are sick or shut in or dealing with something tough. And this hostess, she just prayed down for each and every person. I'm telling you, it was like, where am I? I really was caught in the matrix. So I wanted to discuss with you all the power of prayer. What are your experiences with prayer calls and prayer groups, that sort of thing?
Yes. No, I love that. I love that a lot. And, you know, I feel like, I don't know, some people are, they'll be afraid to pray. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, my gosh, what I'm going to say, this and that. And sometimes, like, so I set up for my church. I go to Day Spring Community Church in Atlanta, Maryland, right? And so I'd run the AV, and then, but at 8:40 is prayer time, so we can bless, you know, everything, get everybody's heart settled and ready to start the service. But sometimes I'm just like, oh, my Lord, what am I going to say? What in the world? But I just really find that, you know, just breathing and being like, God, help me. And then I'll be praying down. Folks be like, oh, my goodness, that was a great prayer. And I just be like, glory to God, because that's the Lord's words, okay? Because I be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I really appreciate a good pray down. And it really feels good to pray and, like, touch people and to settle the moment and to really, like, connect with God and spirit as you are praying. And it's really a visceral thing, you know what I'm saying? So I'm grateful for the opportunity to pray, and shout out to prayer calls. You know what I mean? Those are powerful. Like, y'all was about to catch the Holy Spirit yesterday, sound like.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, sometimes my church has, they have a 6 a.m. prayer call, and mostly elders are on it, but I always like to get on it just to see what's going on, see if I can offer a song or a testimonial or the things. And I just remember, I really like the term, and I think it sounded like Jay clicked in. I'm not sure, but Jay, send us a text and let us know, or just say, "Hey, your uncle is here." But I always like the term prayer warrior, and I'm curious. You know, it's one of those like Southern Baptist terms, and the colloquialisms and the canon of just how we discuss each other and like titles. Is a prayer warrior, and it's just like, why warrior? Why is the person who can pray? Why are they a fighter? Why are they a warrior as opposed to the prayer? I don't know. Domestic person. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just one of the terms I like.
No, I feel you. I guess maybe. I mean, every time you pray, you're not necessarily. You don't have to be like praying for a thing or praying through something. But I feel like prayer has been such a pivotal part of our lives when we're going through something. So it's like, that's why they're called the prayer warrior, because it's like, you know, we going through, We about to pray you up out of it. We about to pray the angels down. We about to pray some healing over top of you. So that's what I feel like, since, mm-hmm. you know, prayer is not mainly focused when you're going through, but it's thought of like, oh, when you're going through, you need to sit down and pray, talk to God. Oh, you having a hard time? You need to pray. So that's what I would gather from it.
Mm-hmm.
What you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a going through thing. I agree. And that's not the only time, but you really can.
Hello?
Hey, Jay, you got to be more confident. You got to be like, boom, ta-da, watch out now.
Hey, I'm still not clear as to how I'm on.
You on the air, baby?
Okay.
You on the air, baby?
You can't see.
You
anything.
Made it,
sorry,
Jay.
Y'all.
We are here, and if you can, Eugene, if you're calling in, just let us know when you hop in as well, because we're just gonna have to kind of feel each other intuitively and tap into our spirit mind, because we cannot see each other. But Jay, we are on the air, we are live, and we are glad you made it into the call. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling well.
Thanks.
So I think I'm a little off put by not being able to dial in like we normally do. So bear with me, y'all.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Jay Flower brought up a dope prayer call that she was on. She also shout out the Virgos. She celebrated her birthday. Woo woo. But Jay Flower brought up a prayer call she was on. And we were just basically talking about prayer, the power of prayer, why they call prayer warriors. You know, why isn't it prayer chef or prayer selector? I don't know. You know,
prayer angels.
Prayer connoisseur. So we were just talking about that. You didn't miss too much. What you think about prayer calls and prayer warriors and why they call prayer warriors and all of that?
I think they're extremely important to people of faith. Because sometimes you may not have the spoon. So sometimes you need a prayer warrior, somebody to come in and intercede for you and help you, you know, accept and get that good word when you can't see it in the moment or feel it in the moment. Yeah, so I'm all for prayer warriors and folks who, you know, be on the main line.
Look, call them up, tell them what you want.
So there's a prayer warrior, the main line. That word intercessor too. That's another word I really, really like. Is everybody not on the main line? Does everybody not have access to this line?
I think it's a secret line, and I think it's a secret. But Jay, send Eugene the number and let him know what's going on, and he can, you know, tell him to call in whenever you feel like we're ready for him. What you say,
okay.
Like 6:25 or something like that?
Yeah, 6:25.
That's a bet.
That's him joining in with us today.
That's a bet.
Okay, nice. So if you're listening, we are talking about prayer. We're also going to be talking about Run Next Stunt, which is going to be at Anacostia Playhouse in a few weeks. And we're also going to be talking about some news that's affecting our communities, affecting our country. If you would like to talk to us tonight, please call at 202-588-9739. We would love to hear from you all. Again, the number is 202-588-9739. So we were just talking about prayer, being on the main line, prayer warriors, intercessors, having prayer calls, and how important that is to our communities. And speaking of communities, Blade, the newspaper, the only queer, maybe not the only, does Metro Weekly still exist? I don't remember.
Right? Let me look it up.
I haven't seen a Metro Weekly in a long time. But Washington Blade has been holding it down for LGBTQ IA+ News for the past however many years, and they are doing their annual Reader's Choice Awards right now. It's sort of like when City Paper does their best restaurant, best coffee shop, best nail salon sort of series, and it's a promotional campaign to get everyone invested in the paper and get everyone to shout out the servants and the service providers and just in a lot of ways prayer warriors and our champions in the city. Right now is the time they have their finalists. Like, so already this summer folks have submitted who they cared about and who they thought was the best of the best in LGBTQ plus IA services. But now it's time to vote for your favorite for the 2024 Best of LGBTQ DC categories through the September 23rd. So you have just about one more week to make a vote. And then the winners will be announced at the Best of LGBTQ plus IA DC Awards party on October 17th. And they'll also be released in a special issue on Friday, October 18th. And I just want to say a special shout out to The Blade. The Blade has always been supportive of events I've done in the past in D.C. And I was also named one of the Blade Best Lesbians or something like that in 2020 as well. And that was like a great honor. It was during the pandemic. And we all got in the Zoom room and just accepted our awards. And it was beautiful.
Nice.
Did you
nice.
All vote?
I didn't.
I did.
I voted. I'm going to vote. But Metro Weekly is still happening. MetroWeekly.com is alive and well. Not sure if they're still in print, physical print, but the website surely is popping. So
nice.
Shout out to them as well.
Nice.
But I definitely want to vote for the Blaze Best of DC LGBTQ Reader's Choice Award. So shout out to all the nominees and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. Let me share some. So you will be voting for Best Drag King and Best Drag King. Some of those drag kings are Black Dynamite, Dirty Sanchez, Flirty Rico, Molasses, and Rico Pico. Best names.
Oh, Molasses. Hold up.
You know
hold
them?
Look, I mean, shout out to drag kings and drag queens. But sometimes, you know, that's not necessarily my cup of tea, what I like to watch, you know, is no hate or nothing, but Molasses, my goodness, I will go see Molasses. So I'm definitely going to vote because Molasses gets my vote, but that one right there.
Drag King shows aren't my thing either, but they tight. I mean, a good show, a performance artist is a performance artist. Some of the other nominees or categories include Best LGBTQ plus IA Bar, Crush, Little Gay Pub, Shaker, Thirst Lounge, and Trade. Best Bartender, Best Local DJ. DJ Mem ain't on here, so they are failing. But DJ Heat, DJ Honey, DJ Matt Baller, DJ Sidekick, and Wes the DJ. Best Happy Hour, Best Outdoor Drinking, Best LGBTQ Friendly Bar. Oh, Wicked Monday's not on here either. What's happening, y'all? Who is making these nominations list? Because for Best LGBTQ Friendly Bar, it's not a bar, but it is a bar. It is a third space. Wicked Bloom Mondays, or is it Wicked Mondays now?
Wicked Mondays.
Wicked Mondays, because the bloom has blossomed and withered away. I give Wicked Mondays as tribute to the Washington Blade for Best Party. But some of the other categories, Best Coffee Shop, Best Outdoor Dining, Best Restaurant, Best Brunch, Best Burger, random, Best Pizza, also random, Best Local Business Person, that's cute. Okay, shout out to Lady Clipper Barbershop. Leslie Bryant was nominated. Best Clergy. Oh, very nice. Bishop Allison Abrams, Reverend Ashley Goff, Reverend Dr. D.C. Aldafi Johnson, Reverend Thomas.
Adelphi, we had her on our show.
Yes. Yep, isn't that your pastor?
Yep, Adelphi.
Nice.
She was on our Women in Ministry series.
Nice. We're not going to tell y'all how to vote, but Reverend Dr. Johnson, Reverend Thomas W., and Reverend Dr. Laura Nata. So that is Best Clergy. So just make sure y'all, I'm just getting invested. The more I scroll down,
categories. I'm like, oh, most committed activist. Shout out to Kimberly Bush, Racine Penn-Jarvis, also Erling Budd, Ashley Smith, and Shuer Goodwin. Yeah, yo, this is awesome. All right, make sure you check out Washington Blade. Vote for the best in LGBTQ plus IA services, committed folks, businesses, restaurants, the people who serve us and make our lives so much easier each and every year. And I'm going to pass it to you, Daffo, for our sermonic selection.
Let's get it in. This is the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks on Inside Out. And you're listening to Jade Flower Foster, Jay Barber, and myself, Daffo, on WPFW 89.3 FM. Call us now at 202-588-9739. Rap with us a little bit. Meanwhile, take a listen to our first sermonic selection, Missing You, from the Set It Off movie soundtrack, before we get into more conversation with everybody. And we're going to add Mr. Eugene Sims from Run That Stunt. So, Kalia, take us away.
Missing you. I'll find a way to get through. Living without you. 'Cause you were my sister, my strength, and my pride. Only God may know why. Still, I will get by.
Yes.
All right.
Hello.
Hey.
We're back.
We are back. That was Missing You by Brandy Tamia, Gladys Knight, and Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. This is the Fellowship Hall on WPFW, a place, a sanctuary for queer folks. Is that Eugene? Is that you?
Okay.
Yeah, Eugene's here.
Hey,
okay, I can hear you much better. I wasn't certain who if you was talking to me or someone else.
Welcome, Eugene. So if you can hear the sound of my voice, I'm Jay Flower, and I'm just going to introduce you a bit and let Jay take over the Q&A. Cage Bird Productions affirms the Black LGBT lived experience on screen and on stage. Through storytelling, we build community and spark conversations about public health issues that affect our people. Cage Bird Productions is most known for its hit plays, When Boys Exhale,
and Gay Love Jones, which has traveled all around the country to cities like D.C., Nashville, Atlanta, and Houston. An original play and tribute to the film Set It Off, Run That Stunt explores how expensive it is to be poor in this country, especially when it comes to our health. When you see the play, you'll be following Kiki, Jaden, and Fabian as they decide to get even with a world that is intent on bringing them down. It's about crime, it's about payback, and it's about survival. And it is in D.C. next weekend. And we are so honored to have artist and costume designer Eugene Sims with us this afternoon. And if we had, these are the sound effects.
Good evening, Jade, Jay, and how are you all doing?
We're well. Thank you so much for being on tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, first of all, that picture was giving all the things. Shout out. Thank you for that. It was like, oh, okay. All right, sir.
That was honestly, that was actually a candid shot that I had taken.
Oh, you just do this normally. Okay, got it.
Yes. And I had hoped this show could show you that tonight, but unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, this will be a phone interview.
Indeed. But we're here,
yes,
making the best.
So, Eugene, can you tell us about Run That Stunt?
Yeah, so Run That Stunt is a tribute play to written by Anthony Green. It's a tribute play to Set It Off, and it is one of the touchstone films of the 90s and of a generation. So he imbued the writing with specific hallmarks of the film, but he took a fresh new take where it was four female leads. He turned it into two black male queer leads and their cisgender best friend. And as you stated previously, you follow Kiki, Savon, and blanking on the character's
Jaden.
Jaden, thank you. So you follow them as they pretty much go through trials and tribulations of finding love, losing love, dealing with health scares, as well as just trying to make it outside of their circumstances. And they ultimately decide to go on capers. Now, the difference with pretty much queer people, we don't use brute force. We use finesse and wit and charm. Mm-hmm. And that's what you'll see this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, at Anacostia Playhouse.
We're excited. We definitely are excited. How did you become involved in the show or with Cage Bird Productions?
So I've worked with Anthony on several plays, with Boys Exhale as well as Gay Love Jones, and two of his films, the first being The Souls of Black Pebbles and then Faux Flowers. Anthony and I have known each other for at least 4 or 5 years now, but I've always had an interest in style, which is how I began my foray in with fashion, was personal styling. And then that evolved into pretty much production, co-hosting a show, and then ultimately culminating in costume design. And costume design, I've been doing that for the past 8 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So being in the past shows, is that what currently got you more? Like, so how long ago has it been that you have pursued, like, costume design? Like, has it been just the past 8 years or?
Well, ultimately, when I think about it, I've always been drawn to editorial campaigns as well as photo shoots. And
nice.
It came down to being able to develop a visual narrative and express the social psychology of an individual. So with costume design, I am given the script, which I take a nice, pretty much read it over at least two or three times. And then from there, I jot down all of my questions, look for any implied or physical things that the character is required to wear. And then also just try to pick up on what their story is, what their backstory is, not just who they are as they show up in the play, but who they once were that culminated in their lived experience in that moment. And then from that, extract pretty much distilling it down to a color palette. What is the overall tone of the play? What's the mood and vibe of each of the characters from scene to scene, and how to properly showcase that in a attractive but realistic way.
Okay. So
wow,
what
like
would make
painting like a canvas?
What was the question?
No, I was saying that's amazing. I'm sorry, Jay.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
My bad. I was just saying it reminded me of like painting a canvas, like you're trying to figure out what the colors are or what the palette is going to be. That's very interesting to me. So I never knew that about costume design or, you know, how you would even figure it out. So this is all amazing. But go on, Jay.
No, I mean, that's a really great analogy. But I mean, that's pretty much just like a snapshot of what it all entails in developing a visual narrative. But think about your own personal style. When you get dressed each and every day, there are colors that speak to you in that moment or in your life that you are naturally drawn to. There's fabrications and silhouettes and aesthetics that you piece together to convey to passerbys or individuals that you engage with on a regular basis about who you are and what that says about Jay, Jade, and Depo. So
yeah.
All of those, so we subconsciously do it without actively thinking about it. But everyone, just from regular people on the street, I draw inspiration from them as well and how they put themselves together.
Nice. Makes all the sense. And we're about to head to a station break. Eugene, this is the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks on Inside Out. You're listening to Jay Barber, Jade Flower Foster, and myself, Daffo, and Eugene from Run That Stunt on WPFW 89.3 FM. Call us 202-588-9739. And we're going into the break, and we'll be right back.
School is back. Do you need an after-school program for your young one? The Words Beats and Life Academy is enrolling for students from third grade up to young adults, with programming weekdays, 3:30 to 6 p.m., offering classes in hip-hop performing and visual arts, as well as business and arts leadership, with access to professional teaching artists, equipment, and resources. Located in Columbia Heights, Northwest Washington, D.C. at St. Stephen's Church. Classes are always free. Enrollment at wblinc.org/academy, based on availability. The fall session begins September 9th. We hope to see you or your young one there at the Words, Beats, and Life After School Academy.
All right.
Remember, wblinc.org/academy.
Here we go. Station break. We'll be right back, Eugene. Hold that, okay?
Are you passionate about eradicating air pollution? Would you like to participate in the Environmental Justice Artivist Fellows Transformative Community Art Project in Ward 5, Washington, D.C.? We're seeking Ward 5 professional and amateur photographer portraits that capture the theme of what clean air in Ward 5 should be. Selected submissions will be featured in the Up in the Air mural design, which will be installed in a prominent Ward 5 location in fall 2024. Submission is free. The deadline is next Saturday, September 14th. Submissions can be made at socialartandculture.info.
And we're back. This is the Fellowship Hall, the Sanctuary for Queer Folks on Inside Out. WPFW 89.3. So, Jay Barber, you were telling your pronouns, and then we'll have Jay Flower.
Yeah, my pronouns are Jade. I was about to say Jade Flower. My pronouns are she, her. Eugene, what about you?
My pronouns are he, she, but ultimately, as long as you say it with respect, that's the most important thing.
That part.
Heard. Well, thank you, Eugene. We're very excited to hear more about Renee Stunt and then also your journey as a costume designer. Can you hear me? I'm talking as loud as possible.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Don't worry. I'm soft-spoken as well, so it's always practice to project.
Okay, nice. Could you tell us, as you know, Fellowship Hall is a sanctuary for queer folks, and a lot of the running theme and through line of this show is to talk to folks about their faith journey, their experience growing up in church or whatever faith they grew up with, their spiritual practice. So we would love to hear about your faith journey a bit, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
So growing up, my family, we didn't have a specific denomination that we belonged to. We were Christians. Truthfully, we attended service on Easter Sunday. That's the primary time that we went to service. But I attended Catholic school for 8 years and pretty much attended Wednesday Mass, which was customary for the school. But I was appreciative of a religion class because it taught me about the various religions of the world. And it opened my eyes to be able to see that the connecting line and theme is love and pretty much an evolution. I've evolved to be a spiritual person. I commune with God and the universe and just genuinely try to be a good steward of my soul and my spirit as I go along on this journey and not to negatively impact or corrupt anyone else's. And just pretty much try to help people as best I can and usher them into whatever position that God puts me in their life for, whether it be for that moment, whether it be to share an idea, or if we're supposed to walk along the path for a long time.
All right. Love it. There ain't nothing wrong with that. So I have a few more questions in terms of costume design. What advice would you give to someone starting in costume designing?
I would say pretty much if you are green and you don't have an immediate resource, do research. We're in the age of the internet and also the library. It's a classic, pretty much it's a classic touchstone. You can get a book, sit down and read. It's intimate, it's uninterrupted. You don't have to worry about notifications coming through. And then also, just gaze and look at the world around you. Get an understanding of the business of costume design and knowing how to properly prepare to break down a script, to do a run of show so that you know where all of your changes are taking and what scene, what character, and that gets posted up backstage so they can be able to see it. But also reach out to someone whose work you admire. My personal favorites are Ruthie Carter, Colleen Atwood. I love Deborah Scott, Adrian, 1940s, Mona May, who did Clueless. The list goes on and on. It's just pretty much I am a consummate student. In addition to not only doing research, I also practice draping so that I can understand how fabric moves and flows on the form, but also to be able to understand how it can be constructed. Looking at textiles, observing people, and getting into the social psychology of people, looking at passerbys on the street, or even looking at how you dress yourself, begin to think about why. Ask yourself, what is the reason behind this choice? Is it motivated by fear? Am I trying to elicit something from someone? Do I want them to see me? Am I trying to project a different persona than who I actually am? Just taking all of those social cues, and truthfully, if you are in therapy, it just becomes a natural, consistent conversation and dialogue that you have with yourself. And then also go to the theater, see film, and figure out what type of costume designer you want to be.
Ooh, that's awesome. That's what's up. So, Jade, are you going to lead us into our second sermonic selection?
Yeah. So as you all know, or if you have not heard, we lost a great music icon last week. His name is Frankie Beverly, the lead singer of Maze, and a true, 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 a songwriter, a storyteller, and a beautiful, beautiful voice. It's wild because I have been listening to like some Maze and Frankie Beverly deep cuts the past few weeks, like the songs nobody knows that are my favorite. And today for our sermonic selection, just shout out and all the love for our newest ancestor, Frankie Beverly. We will be playing While I'm Alone. Do, 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 do. He has a way of making my best.
Hey, that's my jam, man. Ooh wee. This is the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks on Inside Out. And you're listening to Daffo, myself, Jade Flower, and Jay Barber on WPFW 89.3 FM. Yo, I was just thinking about, you know, like transition is like super bittersweet because it's like, you know, it makes me think of Melissa Bell, the lead singer to Soul to Soul. She, you know, Back to Life, Back to Reality, right? And she was like, she wrote that song because she had like a near-death experience and she like almost crossed over. And when she was there, she was like, it's so beautiful. It's so great. And she was kind of upset that God was like, nah, come on back. She's like, what? However do you want me? However do you need me? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, bittersweet because it's like, you know, it's pain and stress and strife in this earthly body, but when they're free from this earthly body, it's got to be beautiful. But I do be missing my folks this transition. Like I miss my mom, you know what I'm saying? I miss my aunt, my uncle, all of that. So like, as I've gotten older, death has been such an interesting thing, or transition has been such a bittersweet thing just because my mind has opened up to it in a different way. What y'all think?
Yo. Yeah, I mean, I lost my parents pretty early in life, so I've had those thoughts way before some of my peers and friends and things like that or whatever. So it is always one of those things that you don't really know how to talk about with other people until they've experienced it. Because I feel like it's an experience unlike any other. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What you think, Jay Flower?
Back to life, back to reality. I think it must be wonderful, and I don't want it anytime soon. so shout out to Back to Life, baby. Let me stay in life. Thank you, Goddess. Knock on wood.
That's real. That's real.
And, you know, I'm so grateful that Frankie, death makes you become more grateful. So I'm grateful that Frankie Beverly did his work, and I'm grateful that he got to go on his tour. They went on a huge kind of like reunion tour this summer. And so I think sometimes, especially when you're older, you know, like enough is enough and I'm ready. So I feel like I pray that it was a beautiful and a peaceful transition for him. Eugene, I do have to ask, in terms of your profession and your legacy, since we are talking about just sort of like what we leave behind, what are some of your goals and places you want to grow as a costume designer?
Well, I certainly want to expand my scope and lexicon of the work of the visual work that I do. My ultimate goal is I want to leave a legacy of work that one I can be proud of, that pays homage and shines, just pretty much shows the dignity and depth and breadth of not only the queer experience, but the Black experience as a whole. I want to be able to educate and inform the next generation of costume designers coming behind me. I would like to be able, would like to have greater opportunities and further the pay equity, which was recently won in California. But also, it would be great to win an Oscar and to be a part of the pantheon that Ruthie Carter is a part of. But beyond that, I truly want to inform, help, and grow the industry and make it better for the next generation.
Ashe. Do you think you have to be in LA or New York to do that, or what are some of the benefits of being in DC and doing this work, and what are some of the drawbacks?
Well, DC is a transient town, but there are a lot of theaters and there are productions that happen in and around the city. it's but in terms of LA or New York, a lot of the production actually is happening in the South. You're seeing production hubs pop up in Georgia, not just Georgia, but Tennessee, North Carolina, Louisiana, because the tax breaks for a lot of productions are viable and profitable in those states. But also there is a growing, there's growing talent there. And you also have the infrastructure. There's a lot of different actors that we know and love who are creating production companies. I know Anthony Mackie is creating a production company, Issa Rae. Taraji B. Henson. You have Viola Davis with Juvie Productions. So the opportunities are there. We see the impact. We see what is available, but also shifting behind the camera as well. Ava DuVernay with her initiative, I'm trying to remember the name of the organization that she created to. Yes, Array. Thank you. She created Array to further expand the opportunities for women and people of color and queer individuals behind the camera, so that it so that we can actually be in the rooms and actually make the calls. And I'm really excited to see the production of The Piano Lesson, which is a family affair with the Washingtons. So we get to see, we get to not only see the talents of Denzel and David, but the talents of their siblings, and just really, really embracing the full breadth of that production. And also, I know there's a Broadway production of Othello that's coming up, I think later this year or next year. And I was, they were intentional about showing a snapshot of all of the individuals who are working on that production, and they're people of color in a variety of positions that normally we don't hold or are considered for. So I'm excited and I'm ecstatic. My journey, the next transition is for me to go to school so that I can complete my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. That's something that I've always wanted to finish off, just a personal goal of mine, but also to just to get into the rigors and conversations with other artists of different mediums. Because a lot of times when I visualize, it doesn't just stop at the costumes. It goes into, what is the lighting going to look like? What is the scenery? How can we create the full picture and visuals that can touch and draw people in and convey the story in a unique and distinct way?
So it sounds like costume design is your forte, but you also are thinking about the whole picture, so creative design, art directing, that sort of thing as well.
I mean, that's, but generally anybody who's worked with me, they'll tell you when Eugene Sims is on set, he brings all of his tools and it expands well beyond costume design. Now, I'm always mindful because you're pretty much dealing with artists, and artists are sensitive about their shit. And also, you don't want to veer into other people's lanes, but I always do it with pretty much with humility and just genuine. I want to ultimately see things come to fruition in the in their absolute best, best light. So that's always my intention that I lead with. And I just pretty much, I just convey an idea. You take it or you don't. And ultimately, I naturally talk and I share my ideas. So a lot of my experiences professionally have been, I've kind of talked my way into it. And it's like, oh, well, let's do this. Or would you be interested in this? So it's, it tends to be a trial by fire. And I try to do as much research and engagement and understanding what the duties of the position are and what is needed to make a successful product. And so far I've been batting at least 90%.
Nice. That's awesome. Nice. Well, we are excited to see your work. The three of us are going to see Run That Stunt this Saturday. Could you let us know how to get in touch with you personally, in touch with the play, via socials or your next projects, anything like that?
Yes. So everyone, you can see Run That Stunt this weekend, Friday, September 20th, and Saturday, September 21st. Friday, you have an evening showing at 7 p.m., and Saturday, you have a matinee at 2 p.m., and a Saturday evening show at 7 p.m. At Anacostia Playhouse, if you go to Cage Bird Productions Instagram, or you can you will find the link in their bio to purchase tickets. As for myself, you can follow me on e.s.a_style1, the number one, at Instagram. And in terms of future projects, nothing in the works at the moment, but I am always looking for new opportunities and new ways to expand upon my visual narrative.
I love that. Thank you so much, Eugene, for being with us today.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to speak with you, Jay, Jade, and Dapo. I look forward to seeing you, but also following the show. I'm really happy that, because I've been preparing for the interview, that's how I came across the show, and I've gone back and listened to previous episodes.
Oh, bless.
Nice.
Yes.
Thank you.
Meet you.
I'm blessed.
Right?
You're welcome.
Wow. Awesome. Well, listeners, thank you so much for your patience with our technical difficulties. Thank you so much, Eugene Sims. Be sure to check out Run That Stunt this Saturday at Anacostia Playhouse, supporting creative storytelling, queer inclusion, and just beautiful, beautiful design and everything coming together in a professional and still independent art manner. This is Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks on Inside Out Collective, and you are listening to Dapo, myself, Jay Flower, and Jay Barber on WPFW 89.3. Much love from us, from our families, our homes, our little prayer closets to yours.
Yeah, bye y'all. Much love.
That's it. Take us out.
Day after day, seems like I push against the clouds. They just keep blocking out the sun. It seems since I was born,
WPFW's This Is Reggae Music and the Reggae Experience presents a fundraising concert featuring Image Band, Curlew Reggae All-Stars Band, Lady Flame, and Carl Malcolm on Saturday, October the 5th, 7 p.m. until midnight at King Solomon Lodge, 2245 Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast Washington, D.C. Tickets available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW. All proceeds benefit WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Diversity.